Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Miami Vineyard, so good to see you. So good to see you. So good to have those of you joining us online today, whatever place or space you're joining us from. Hey, can we make some noise and welcome in our online audience? Come on, let's hear it for them. Let's hear it for them. So big weekend, big game today here in just a few hours, big game today. So many of you are wearing your favorite sports teams. I love it. So I'm just curious how many of you might be cheering for the different teams in the big game here later today. You're joining us online right now. Just go ahead and put in the chat what team you might be cheering for. But so I'm just curious. So by show of hands and by making some noise, how many people are going to be cheering for the Los Angeles Rams today? Can I see any Rams fans? Okay, we got some Rams fans here in the place. How about how many people are cheering for the Cincinnati Bengals? Anybody? Wow, it is a Bengals-friendly crowd here today. Wow. How about this? How many of you could care less who wins a game later today? That's the biggest cheer of all right there. Yeah. How many of you are just watching the game? Just watching the game for the commercials and the halftime show. Yeah. Okay. But look, if you're a fan of one of those two teams, I mean, if you grew up as a Rams fan, or if you grew up as a Bengals fan, like I grew up as a Packer fan, but if you grew up as one of those fans, look, today during that game, there's going to be lots of emotions going through your body. There's times when you're going to be happy. There's times when you're going to be sad. There are times when you're going to be elated. There's times when you're going to be bummed out. I mean, I honestly thought that my team, the Green Bay Packers, was going to be playing in this big game today. We were the number one seed in the NFC. We had the best record. And some of you know that my team got beat a couple weeks ago. And the Packers played the game. So the Packers played on Saturday night. So on Sunday, when a lot of you arrived on Sunday, you saw me in the hallway out here, and so many of you, Pastor Kevin, I'm so sorry for your loss. 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 It's like a family member had died or something. But it's crazy when you think about it. I mean, it's just a stupid game. But if you're a fan of one of these teams, it's like, wow, there's a part of you that just looks so sad when your team loses and gets this far. You know, Dolphin fans, you lose early, so it's not the same. But these emotions are so big. But you realize this: emotions are a gift from God. The reason we have emotions is because we're created in the image of God, and God has emotions. You realize this? God has emotions. From cover to cover of the Bible, you see God. God gets sad. God gets happy. God gets overjoyed. God gets angry. God has emotions. And our ability to feel is a gift from God. But sometimes, if we get honest, these emotions, these feelings, if we don't have some boundaries around them, if we don't understand them, if we allow our feelings to dictate how we're going to live these lives, that can be very problematic at times. This weekend, we're in part 6 of a series that we're calling Goals. And so what we said is, we said this is a 7-week series. So next week, we wrap up the series. I've said you've got to come to all 7 weeks. And so if you missed any of the previous weeks, you can go to YouTube. Just search Miami Vineyard. You can get any of the weeks you've missed. So this week, we're part 6, where we're talking about, we said this, that God has goals for you. He does. The Bible says it like this in the book of Jeremiah. That I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I know the goals I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for a future and a hope, that God has good goals for you. And so we've talked about this in the year 22, about what kind of goals does God have for us when it comes to all different areas. We talked about spiritual goals, physical goals. We talked about relational goals. We talked about last weekend mental health goals. And this weekend, I want to talk a little bit about emotions, emotional health, dealing with your feelings. Because if we can get a handle on our emotions, they can become an incredible asset in our lives. So, to get started today, I just want us to experience some emotions together. So, whether you're in the room
or whether you're joining us online right now, okay, just to bring some emotions together, on the count of three, I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them they suck. Ready? One, two. I'm just kidding. Some of you are breathing in like, oh, this is going to be good. I'm just playing, man. Don't do that. But if you did that, I promise you, you're going to have some emotions. Both ways. See, emotions. So I want to look at this whole thing about emotions today. But I wanted you to do something before we get started. If you could locate some message notes. Now, message notes are all virtual. So they're located on our Miami Vineyard app. If you haven't downloaded the app, you can go to your app store, search Miami Vineyard. Or if you're in the room today, you go right here on this card you have in the seat back in front of you, scan the QR code. Our app can get downloaded. Many of you have the app already downloaded. You can open up the app, just tap on Weekend Messages, and then tap on Message Notes, and they're right there. I've got some extra freebies in the Message Notes for you today, if you want to tap on those. So let me just start with why should I manage my emotions? Let me give you a couple quick reasons. Here's the first one. Because my feelings can be unreliable. Not that they are all the time, but they can be. They can be unreliable. I wonder how many of us have felt one way about something, strongly one way about something, and just moments later we felt completely the opposite way. Happens all the time. Let's say, for example, you wake up in the morning and you've got a day in front of you. You know it's a day. So much to do, accomplish. You've got a few appointments that you don't even want to have. And you wake up anxious. And you've got this day in front of you. You know what the day is going to be. But shortly after waking up, you get a text message from a friend. And the text message says this: you are an amazing person. And just like that, your emotions change. The day didn't change. That didn't change at all. But your emotions about the day did. Or let's say, for example, you got a coworker that you don't like a whole lot. But you walk by this coworker, and this coworker looks at you and says, I really love your outfit. And all of a sudden, instantly, your emotions like change about that coworker. Now, the coworker didn't change, but your emotions did. Or let's say it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're at work and you're beginning to drag. Okay, you're tired. But a coworker walks in with a colada. Cafecito is in the house. And you are feeling like a lot better. Did nothing but feelings. You know it's true. Now, it doesn't make emotions bad. Emotions are good. Your feelings are valid. They are. They're a gift from God. But feelings can be at times unreliable. Look what the Bible says in Jeremiah 17. It says, the heart is a puzzle that no one can figure out. Wow. The heart, the emotions, the inside is a puzzle that nobody can figure out. So here, why? First reason is because my feelings are unreliable. Here's the second reason, because I don't want to be manipulated by my feelings. See, if we don't control our emotions, they will control us. And they're a lot more powerful than we often think. They really are. A lot of people think, well, come on, man, feelings, they're no big deal. They are a big deal. And do you know who knows they're a big deal? Advertisers. Think about almost every advertisement you see is not just about the product, it's more about appealing to your emotions. Because if they can get to your emotions, they got you. Recently, there was a huge ad campaign for Dove soap. It was simply soap, Dove soap. But the campaign was called a Real Beauty campaign. And what they did is they launched a campaign where they showed women of all shapes and sizes, all ethnicities, and the goal of the campaign was to build self-confidence in women. And women loved it. And they bought all the products. But at the end of the day, they're just really selling soap. Beer commercials. You're going to see a ton of those during the Super Bowl. Okay, beer commercials. Okay, they're not selling beer. Oh, they're selling beer. But they're selling more than beer. They're trying to sell you good times. They're selling you fun. They're selling you friends. That's what they're selling you, because they're trying to get at you emotionally. They tease your emotions to get you to buy their product.
I wonder how many of us have ever bought something and then later regretted it because emotions got the best of us. Let me see your hands if that's you. Come on, you bought something, later regretted it. Come on, let me see your hands. Yeah, if your hand's not up, you're a big fat liar. You need to apologize to God right now. God, I'm sorry, I'm in church, I just lied, okay. Look what the Bible says. Look what, like an open city with no defenses is the person with no check on their feelings. The Bible says it's clearly important to manage these feelings because they can lead us, if not checked, our emotions can lead us to places that are not always healthy for us. So here's the third reason why I need to manage my emotions, because I want to succeed in life. All the research will tell you this, that the number one indicator and predictor of success or failure in life is how we deal with how we feel. It's a number one predictor. How do you manage your emotions? How do you control your emotions? Study after study after study has revealed this, that your EQ, your emotional quotient, or your emotional IQ, is so much more powerful than your IQ. That what you feel and how you manage your feelings is a much greater indicator of your success in life than really how smart you are. How you feel. And I've said this from the beginning, that God cares about this. That God cares about your emotions. He cares about how you feel. That God doesn't want you just to survive. He wants you to thrive. That's what God wants for you. But to do this, we've got to bring God into our lives and into these emotions and let God empower us on how we live these lives. Look what the Bible says. From now on, then, you must live the rest of your earthly lives controlled by God's will and not by human desires. When God controls our lives, everything changes. Everything changes. So what do we do about all this? Okay, what a great question, and we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But before we do that, I just want to share a couple interesting facts with you I learned this week regarding emotions. Researchers tell us that human beings, do you know how many emotions humans have? 300 emotions. 300 different emotions. And if you have an iPhone, Apple has given you 95 of them. The emojis, right, on your phone. The facial emojis on your phone, I counted them this week. 95 options for facial emojis on your phone. 95. That doesn't include all the thumbs up and the peace and all the other thing. That's just the facial emojis. Apple's given you 95 choices on those emojis. And so let's just see how many, let's see if you know any of them. Okay, I'm just going to put a couple on screen. Here's one coming on screen. What's this one? Okay, that's a happy emoji. Good, good. What's this one? Here's the next one. What's this one? The sad emoji, also known as the Miami Dolphins emoji. Okay, want to clarify. All right. All right. Here's another one. What's this one? That's the, yeah, shocked emoji, surprise, also known as the first time cafecito emoji. And here's one more. What's this one? Yeah, the heart emoji, love emoji. Okay, that emoji, that's the way I feel about all of you. That emoji. Oh. So, here's a little something else I learned this week. Who do you think has more emotions, men or women? All right, put in the chat. If you're online, put in the chat. All right, let's in the room. How many of you think men have more emotions? Can I see your hands? Men have more emotions? How many think women have more emotions? Can I see those hands? Okay, all right. Oh, well, women won big time. The actual retail price is, you know what the answer is? They both have the same amount. They both have the same amount. Men and women have exactly the same number of emotions and the exactly same emotions. The difference is culture. Culture, society. In this country, society has taught men it's not cool to show your emotions, and women are given more permission to show their emotions. That's the only difference. But men and women have the same emotions and the same number of emotions and the same emotions. So let me give you one more. Research says this. And we know this to be true. That emotions are the strongest trigger to behavior. That you will behave, the average person will behave in a certain way, will act in a certain way based upon emotion more than conviction, more than belief, and more than values. Your emotional state will determine how you behave more than anything else. You don't believe it? Just have somebody cut you off in traffic and let's see what you do. Because normally you'd be cool, calm, and collected. But right then, somebody cuts you off and you tell them they're number one in sign language, and I mean, all kinds of stuff happens. Look, emotions, they're powerful, they're powerful. So look, how do I manage emotions? I'm gonna give you three words today, just three words. How do I manage emotions? If you're taking notes, here they are. First thing I gotta do, if I'm gonna manage my emotions, and it's important I do, if I'm gonna manage these emotions, here's the first thing I gotta do. I gotta title it. Title it. What does it mean? It means to name it. Name it. You gotta put a name on it, because when you put a name, when something has a name, it changes everything. If your family has ever come across a stray dog or a stray cat, whether it finds you or whether you find it, listen, if you don't want to keep that thing around, don't name it. Because once you name it, it's yours. Do you know how many stray cats my wife has found? Do you know how many? My wife, she loves cats. I've never met anybody in my life who loved cats as much as my wife loved cats. I just didn't think it was possible. I think she loves them more than she loves me. But anyway, that's another story. My wife, she just can't, if it's a stray cat, she's going to take care of it. Do you know how many stray cats we have living in our backyard? 9. Do you know how many she's named? 9. All 9. She feeds them every day. Those cats ain't going anywhere. So when we get out of town for a few days, somebody's got to feed the cats. So she goes to a friend of ours who lives a few houses down and says, "Hey, I'll give you X number of dollars to feed those cats." And then I go behind her and double the money to not feed the cats. But anyway, that's another story. Emotions. Okay, why am I talking? Okay, naming. When we name something, it matters. Look, if you're gonna have an emotion. And so many of our emotions are tough to name. He's like, how do you feel? Oh, I just feel blah. Well, you can't deal with it if you can't name it. You have to identify it. So the first thing we got to do with emotions, we've got to name it. Now to name it, and I put a couple bonus things in your message notes. If I'm going to name it, I've got to first of all figure out what am I really feeling. What am I really feeling? And sometimes what I'm really feeling, you got to go below the surface. I call it like peeling an onion. You've got to see, when you peel an onion, you get below the surface. You get to what's really. This one doesn't want to peel. You get to what's really inside. And sometimes we just gotta go there. We just gotta peel the onion and figure out what's good. And I gotta figure out what caused this. See, we all have emotional triggers. There's things that happen in life, happen to us, around us, that set us off. Sometimes, and I'm not just a negative, they can set us off positive too, but there's emotional triggers that we all have in life. And if we can identify them, we'll be so much healthier. If we know what the triggers are, we can manage our emotions instead of our emotions managing us, if we know what the triggers are. So, but triggers can be any number of things. Now look, the triggers that trigger me may not trigger you. You got things that you just set you off, but you got family members. They don't have any response to it at all, but you got a big response to it. That's the way triggers are. Triggers are like that. They kind of set you off in those kinds of ways. And so sometimes a trigger can be something you see. Visual can be a very strong trigger, both positive and negative. Sometimes it'll be something you hear. Sometimes you hear a person's voice, and the voice is like, ah. Oh. And sometimes you hear a voice that's like, it can be touch. Sometimes you get a hug from somebody and you're going, oh, that's the best hug ever. And sometimes you get a hug from somebody, you're going, I hope they never hug me again. Sometimes a trigger can be a taste or a smell. Do you realize that smell is one of the strongest triggers we have in our lives? The sense of smell. So, my mom, who's now with Jesus, But when my mom was here, some of you know that we have five kids. And so my mom would send, when my kids had a birthday or Christmas, my mom would send a box with gifts to the kids. Now, this was pre-Amazon, so the box didn't come from Amazon. The box came from the basement of our house where my mom would collect boxes so she could send to the grandkids. My mom had 26 grandkids. And she remembered every one of their birthdays, and she sent them a box of a little gift every single one of their birthdays and for Christmas, all 26. She had a full-time job just sending gifts to the grandkids. That was my mom. She was just the way she was. But she collected all these boxes in her basement. And fortunately for me, when I was growing up as a kid, I was blessed with two great parents, and I had a great childhood. And so when I got reminded of my childhood home, it was always a positive thing for me. So when a box would arrive for one of my kids' birthdays, right, we'd open the box. They would get the gifts on the inside, but I said, I want the box. What do you think I did with the box? I would just smell the box. It would take me back like that to when I was a kid growing up on that house, on that farm outside of Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's a strong, strong, strong trigger. But our triggers can be anything. They're not always a box, and probably you don't have a box, probably has never been a trigger for you. But it's a positive trigger for me when it came from my mom. But triggers can be anything, right? So oftentimes our triggers, you know what triggers us? When we're not getting our needs met. Some of you, you have a huge need to be understood. And when you're not being understood, you know it just kind of sets you off. Some of you, it's about control. You need to be in control. And when your life is out of control, whoo, sets you off. Some of you, it's independence. Some of you, it's being treated fairly. Some of you, it's be right. Okay, but look, if we can anticipate the trigger, if we can anticipate the things that set us off, if we can identify it, if we can name it, if we can title it, it's going to make a huge difference for us emotionally. So that's the first, I give you three words, right? First word, title it. Second word, all T words. Here's the second word, test it. Title it and test it. Because just because we're feeling a certain way doesn't automatically make it correct. Just because you're feeling it, it doesn't make it true. Now, feelings are valid. What you're feeling is valid, okay? But it doesn't mean that the feeling is accurate. Again, I'm not saying you're not valid. I'm just saying that they might not always be accurate. For example, there are times when your feelings are just not accurate. Like when you're sick, when you're tired, when you're exhausted, you didn't sleep well. Those are times when your feelings just aren't accurate. Here's another one. How about when you're hungry? Do you have different emotions when you're hungry? Absolutely you do. Do you feel differently about different things when you're hungry? Yes. When you're hungry, you hate everybody and everything. Listen, when you're hungry, you feel differently about your spouse. You feel differently about the kids. You even feel differently about God. You feel differently about Pastor Kevin. So make sure you eat before you come. So these emotions, they're difficult. They're difficult. So you know what we need? Look, it is difficult to manage these emotions. So you know what we need? We need another person in our life who can help us navigate this world of human emotions. Now, if you're married here today, let me see your hands if you're married here today. Let me see. Anybody married? If you'll admit it, okay. If you're joining us online right now, just put in the chat, I love my spouse, okay? I love my spouse. Put in the chat. So look, if you're married here today, you have someone already in your life who can help you with this, and it's not your mother-in-law, even though she'd love to help. It's your spouse. It's your spouse. Look, I know we hate to admit this, but our spouse often knows us better than we know ourselves. How does that happen? I don't know. But feelings, look, when you're all up in your feels and your feelings, it's hard. It's hard to get out of that, but your spouse isn't all wrapped up in that. They can see things in you that you can't see in yourselves. You know, I've been married to my wife, Debbie, now for 35 years. We got married at birth. I just want you to know. Just want to clarify that. But I can't tell you how many times my wife has saved me from making a very poor choice or decision. I'm a very passionate dude. I'm just passionate. I'm passionate about life. I'm passionate about my football team. I'm passionate about God. I'm passionate about my family. I'm passionate about you. Some people just have like they're just born with this. I'm just a passionate guy. And so I have these feelings, strong feelings that just go through my body. And I feel very strongly about when I make a decision about what to do and how to press on and these kinds of things. But passion can, just because you feel it doesn't mean it's always right or accurate. And so my wife, I can't tell you how many times my wife has saved me from pressing through something that I shouldn't press through, or sending or talking or having a conversation with somebody that I shouldn't have yet. Back off of that a little bit. Think about it a little bit before you just engage in that. She's been so helpful for me. She has saved me from making so many stupid decisions. And if you're not married, look, if you're not married, is there someone in your life that you've given permission to speak into your life like that? Or do you say, you don't know me. You don't know me. You can't talk to me. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 11. It says, the wisdom of the righteous can what? Can
save you.
Oh, yeah. It's talking about other people in your world around you. The wisdom of the righteous can save you. That's why you hear me. We keep talking about at this church, small groups, small groups, small groups, small groups. Are you involved in a small group? We need a small group of people, 3 to 5 to 6 to 12 people around us on our same spiritual journey who can help us, who can talk to us, who can speak some life to us. This weekend, if you notice, there's tables out there in our lobby. If you're here in person, you see the tables in the lobby. We're talking about be part of a small group, a small group, a small group, a small group. And look, whether you're online right now or in the room right now, if you got the app open, just go to the app right now. You got the app open. There's a on the app, it just says small groups. Tap on small groups right there, and on the app is an entire menu of small groups that'll come up. And you can see all the different small groups that we're offering now during this term. By the way, small groups start this week. That's why we're asking you to sign up for a small group today, because small groups start this week. Small groups meet in evenings, in the mornings, in the afternoons. Small groups meet here on church, on campus. Small groups meet online. Small groups meet at Starbucks. They meet all over the place. I started a small group this past Thursday. I lead a small group here. It's called 5K with PK. It's kind of a little exercise group where 5K is roughly 3 miles. And so whoever wants to come, we meet every other Thursday, every second and fourth Thursday, out in that parking lot right out here called 5K with PK. PK's, that's me. And we do 5K. And some people run the 3 miles. Some people walk the 3 miles. Some people crawl the 3 miles. But whatever it is, we meet right out here. And it's like we do it, and then we come back and we meet each other, and you get to meet some new people. We pray. It's a very cool kind of a deal, and that's what we do out here. But it's my small group, and I this past Thursday I got to meet a couple new people I didn't know before, and it's great. You get to know them a little bit. You can pray for them. They can pray for you. So look, as your pastor, I would love for you to be in a small group, in some kind of a small group. It's health, and it's life. And you need it. And the group also needs you. You need it for you, but there's things you have that God's given you that you need to impart to the group as well. The group needs you, and you need the group. I'd love for you to be part of a small group. So, three things, right? Three words, emotions. Title it, test it, and here's the third word, tame it. Title it, test it, and tame it. Now look up here for just a moment. Either you're going to master your emotions or they're going to master you. One of those two things is going to happen. Either you're going to master your emotions or they're going to master you. Some of you are going, oh, well, Pastor Kevin, I'll just stuff my emotions and just not have any emotions. That never works. That never works. Because they're still controlling you because you're trying to hold them down the whole time. So we've got to deal. We've got to deal with how we feel. Now let me help you out a little bit with mastering some emotions. Let me give you a couple thoughts here. Again, I put them in your message notes. Let me give you a couple thoughts here when it comes to emotions. Because emotions are so immediate. Emotions don't think about tomorrow. They could care less about tomorrow. They could care less about later today. An emotion you're having right now, emotions doesn't care about what happens later. Emotions doesn't care about the rest of your life. Emotions doesn't care if your life is going good or bad. They don't care about that. Emotions are right now, right here, right now. Again, they're valid. They're gifts from God. But there's no future thinking to emotions. Emotions are right here in the moment. What am I thinking right now? So if I'm going to manage my emotions, I've got to think long term. I got to think long term. For example, if you're a parent, how many parents we got in the house today? Can I see parents, parents? God bless you, parents. I'm a parent with you. You need lots of God. I know we all do as parents. And if you're a parent of young kids, it is a challenge. It's a challenge. It's a season. It's a challenge. I'm guessing your house is probably not always picked up the way you want it to be. Your house is a mess. Toys all over the place. And you step on that Lego one too many times with your bare feet. And you are frustrated, angry. These emotions, they just hit you. Now look. In that moment, think long term. Think long term, because I can tell you, as a parent of 5 kids, and the kids no longer live at home, they're all grown, and they're all gone. Can I tell you, as a parent, this time with your kids at home goes by so quickly. It's like it goes by like this, and you're going to miss those kids not being at home. Some of you are going, Kevin, I look forward to the day. Look, can I just say, if your kids are 30 and they're still living at home, it's time. You go home today and you said, Pastor Kevin says, get out of here. But can I tell you, listen, emotions, you got to think long term, think long term, think long term, because emotions don't. They don't. And they get us all riled up about something immediate, but they're not thinking long term. So it's help. When you have an emotion, we got to tame it. We got to tame it. It helps to think long term so you can tame that emotion. Let me give you one more suggestion when it comes to emotions. Rechannel what you're feeling. Rechannel what you're feeling. Sometimes you can take a negative emotion that you're feeling and you can rechannel it for good. For instance, let's say you've been a victim of injustice or prejudice or racial profiling or gender. Naturally, there's an emotion that rises up in you, and there should be. You want justice, but the emotion isn't really justice. The emotion is anger. It's anger. And listen, anger is not a sin. God gets angry, and God can't sin. So anger is not a sin. It's what we do with the anger that often causes. It's our response to the anger that can be a sinful response. But look, anger can be a healthy thing if it motivates you in a positive direction. Is my anger going to get what I want? No, anger never does by itself. But can my anger be used for good to help somebody else? Absolutely. And all of a sudden now, you rechannel that anger, that emotion, and now you become a champion for injustice. And you're going, I want to help other people so they never have to experience what I've just experienced. You champion it. You rechannel that emotion. Or take Jesus. Jesus one day was in the temple. It was on the Sabbath. And back in Jesus' day, they had all these rules about what you could or couldn't do on a Sabbath day. And all the religious leaders came up with all these rules. Just so that the religious leaders back in the day, they just kept people down. They just wanted to keep people down. And Jesus knew it. And Jesus was so frustrated with them. So in church that day, it was on the Sabbath day. A man was there with a withered hand. He had no function, and Jesus wanted to heal the hand. But the Pharisees, the religious leaders, had all these rules that you can't, that's work, and you can't do work on a Sabbath. And Jesus was so frustrated. In fact, the Bible says it like this. I'm just reading verse 5 of chapter 3 of the book of Mark. Jesus looked around at them in anger. Jesus got angry. He looked around at them in anger and was deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. That's what it says about Jesus. Now, Jesus could have used his anger. He could have went off on them. He had every right to. But instead of doing that, Jesus rechanneled his anger into compassion on this man. And Jesus reached out and healed this man's hand. And this changed. Jesus Christ changed this man's life forever. Because that's what Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ changes lives. He changes lives. He changes man's life. He changes your life. Look, you're taking an emotion that may not be healthy, and instead of just stewing in it, it never helps to just stew in an emotion. Instead of just stewing in it and just letting it just kind of, instead of stewing in it and becoming a victim of it, and instead of it mastering you, you now master it. So let me wrap this up today. Everything we're talking about, look, the emotions, it's a challenge. We're never going to be able to master our emotions left to ourselves. No amount of willpower is going to master emotions. It's going to take more than willpower. It's going to take the power of the living God. Look what our last verse says. You will not succeed by your own strength and power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So would you pray with me? Would you bow your heads? Would you pray with me today as we wrap this up? And maybe you want to just bow your heads, maybe close your eyes just to block out distractions. Whether you're in the room today, whether you're joining online today, just to take a moment. And God, as we're in this moment, this place, this space, this time, God, here right now, God, thank you for emotions. Thank you for emotions, God. God, the ability to feel is a gift from you. That we can feel is feelings are powerful. They're amazing. They're wonderful. They're gifts. But as we talked about today, and as we know from living life, if we don't have boundaries on these feelings, we know that they can sometimes get the best of us. Not just negative feelings, positive feelings too. But God, thank you that we can feel things like love and joy and excitement and passion and sadness and loss and grief. Thank you, God, that we can feel these things. And God, as we've learned today that God, even though these emotions are amazing, God, we don't want them to lead us. We want to lead them. We don't want them dictating how we live these lives. So God, we tell you today, we need you. God, we need you. We need you, God, in our world and in our lives, in our emotions. Look, some of you have never invited the presence of God into your emotional life. Can I invite you? Can I just ask if you do that right now? Just say, God, I want you in my emotions. God, I want you leading my emotions. God, I want you in this world of my emotions. Look, some of you, maybe there's never been a time where you've invited God into your life. Maybe today's your day. You want to say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Look, if there's never been a time where you've invited Jesus Christ into your life, then I want to invite you to do it right here, right now, today. Just follow me in this simple prayer. You don't got to pray that loud, but just inside, follow me in this simple prayer. Say, Jesus, today, I need you in my life, Jesus. Jesus, I can't manage this life without you. I don't want to live this life without you. I realize I need you. So Jesus, today, I open my life to you. I commit my life to following you. And God, I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.